Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kuruk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is called The Fire.
The Fire. The power to respond to telepathic calls is what Indian doctors do, and is not within the realm of my training. Mostly, I've been trained to see things and to make the world around me a happy place. I can make you feel better about where you are in this world and in this life, but I can't change where you're at. Not me, not my gifts. I can only make you feel better about it. I can give you a different attitude, but I can't change your life. With this other set of powers, I'm changing something. I pull this power together and then throw it out, and it changes things. I could slow down things and change a sequence of events in time. But before my aunt's gifts in the burden basket, I could not give a person power so that they would survive. The other thing I could always do was, if a person was hurting, say they had a toothache or a backache, if they could give it to me, I could relieve them of that pain. I can only do that if a person could let go of the pain. And most people aren't taught to let go of pain. Instead of turning loose of the pain, they hang on to it, and I can feel them just pulling it into themselves. When they do let go, I feel the pain for a few minutes, and sometimes I'll feel twinges of it off and on. One woman came to me who had something wrong with her breasts, and after that, when she had pain, I would feel it too. I can't get rid of my own pain, but I can deal with someone else's pain. When we feel the Creator is speaking to us and telling us to do something, and we really don't want to do it, we have a mindset against it, or for some reason we just don't want to do that task, whatever it is that the powers are telling you they want you to do, you don't really win the argument. You feel like you are arguing with the power, but you really don't win the argument, because if you really have a mindset against this guidance that they are trying to give you, then the power just drops it off and doesn't force you to do it. I believe that you would have to do it if the power didn't just back off. The reason it backs off is probably that it sees that you have such a mindset against this task, that if you did go do it, you would do it in a manner that wouldn't suffice or fit. In 1998, my house burned down. Daryl was the only one home at the time. And the house burned so fast that he walked right by the chainsaw sitting on the porch and threw the plastic chairs off into the yard. Although I had quite a few warnings that it was going to happen, for some reason, even though these hints were coming to me, it was like I was in a daze and didn't really connect the dots that were telling me that the house was supposed to be gone. I was told, but I guess I was in denial. I was getting the messages that Grandpa was taking the house back, that I didn't need it. This came to me in dreams, but also when I was awake, I would get a message that told me the same thing. I would see a big flame just swirling and curling out. The first time I had this vision, I thought it was someone else's house. Then when Zona's house burned, I thought that maybe that was the house in the messages, because it had been my house at one time. But then the message came to me again and again, and finally a voice told me that Grandpa was taking the house back. You don't need it anymore. You don't need this, and so he's going to take it. According to our beliefs, anything that is in this world that belonged to someone on the other side can go back to them in smoke. That's why you don't keep any of their stuff over here on this side. You burn their clothes and their belongings. That way, you send it to the other side right after them, and they can have whatever is theirs. So it went back to him in smoke, and he got it all back. It was all his, it wasn't mine. I just got to use it for a long time. When my house burned, I had everything I needed and probably three of everything I needed. I really had way more than I needed, and the Creator took it away from me. It was sad to lose these things, but they went over to the other world to the people that really own them. When things burn that had belonged to people who had died, these things go back in smoke to the other world. And then the people over there have their things back again. Some of the things that burned were mine, but many things had been my grandfather's or my Aunt Caroline's. So they got back these things that I had for a few years. In 2001, we learned that the Downriver Karuk family, who had been giving the brush dance in Orleans, wasn't going to be available on the weekend that the ceremonial leaders up here wanted to have the dance take place. They decided to get me to be medicine woman for the dance, so they could hold it when they wanted to. It was controversial because the family who had been giving the dance didn't want us to give it, but the tribe wanted to go on with it. Grant Hillman approached me first about this, and after that, the medicine man asked me if I would be medicine woman, if I could do that. The way I look at it, to be the medicine woman for the Fetewinen, to be the Fetewinen's woman, all you have to do is be. You don't have to do anything else, other than being in this totally happy state of mind, in order to have the right effect on the world, because we're making medicine for the world, and I'm to make it a happy world, a balanced, happy world that doesn't have negative thoughts in it. It's hard to reach that view and keep it, kind of Pollyannish view, because the world is not a Pollyanna place, but that's what I was trained to do. I also had the power to be the brush dance woman and could do it, even though that wasn't specifically part of my training. Years before, Daisy Jones had told me that if I was ever called to do a brush dance at some time in my life, I should do it for them, because I had the power to do that. It wasn't my calling, but I could do it. I guess you could say that wasn't my optimum job. The Creator will give you the power, and you go ahead and do that, even though it isn't your job in life, she told me. Daisy told me that if I went to be the medicine woman for the brush dance, I wasn't to ask anyone what to do. I was supposed to go up to the valley to get what I would call divine guidance, because there wouldn't be anyone to tell me what to do. She evidently knew that there wouldn't be any more Fetewinen women here to instruct me, because no one started that training after me. Even though there might be girls being trained downriver to be the Fetewinen's woman, their dances are different from ours. They weren't exactly the same, tribe to tribe. The Yurok dance their jump dance in a pit, and we dance our jump dance on the ground, with kind of a rock wall behind in some places. In the other places, there's just the mountain behind the dancers.
Listen to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called The Brush Dance. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper. Hey, yo.